19 for me. Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. Should 5% appear too small? Be thankful I don't take it all. Cause I'm the tax man.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Tax Man there from the Beatles. And you know why? You know why, my friends? Because tomorrow is July 15th, and it's 2020's April 15th, if you know what I'm saying. It's like you got to have your taxes in. We were hoping, some of us, that maybe they would do another extension because of the virus, but no, no, no. So if you have not got your taxes in, you got one day. You got one day. So with that in mind, good morning. You can delay your tax figuring until after our show. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. I sent him in yesterday, my tax stuff. Well, actually, you know what I did? I make estimated tax payments. That's what I sent in. Anyway, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, July 14th. It's Bastille Day in France. You know what the Bastille was? It was the prison during the French Revolution where they were knocking off all of those aristocrats. Bastille Day. In a few minutes, David Solomon is going to join us. He is an author. He's a journalist. And we're going to talk about his newest book, Fallout. It's called Fallout. It delves into the machinations and the enrichment of the Clinton and Biden families. I think you're going to find it very interesting. I can't wait to talk with him. And did you see about those explosions rocking Iran's nuclear facilities? Are they accidents? Or is it more menacing than that? We're going to talk about that. And there's record gun buying going on right now across America. Record gun buying. And we're going to talk with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi. He knows. He's going to tell us why. Why the rush to all the weapons right now? And in our ultimate top 10, we never talk much about the biggest cities in Canada, so we're going to talk about the top 10 largest cities in Canada, population-wise. See if Ed will know what number one is. So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For you guys in Tampa Bay, it is the best place for a haircut. I can guarantee you that. It's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. You got to call for an appointment, 727-733-3773. 733-3773. And by the way, if you want to listen to us any time of the day, Ed sets up all of our shows on podcast. Bless him. So please go to it at your leisure. OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay, well, I was watching, I think it was Fox News, and there is a very brave woman from Hong Kong. She is a virologist. In other words, an expert in viruses. And she has escaped China and has come here to the U.S. and is talking about the cover-up that is going on right now in China. And she should know. She was involved in all of the work while the government was trying to busily keep it from the rest of the world. Here's what she has to say in this talk that she had on Fox. This is a huge pandemic we have seen in the world. It's more than anything we've known in human history. So the timing is very, very important. If we can stop it early, we can save lives. Now, the Chinese government is not happy with this woman. She says she believes the government knew about the novel coronavirus well before the public outbreak, well before that. She said her supervisors, renowned as some of the top experts in the field, also ignored the research that she was doing at the onset of the pandemic. She said, I have to hide because I know how they treat whistleblowers. And as a whistleblower, I want to tell the truth of COVID-19 and the origins of the virus. She says Beijing knew in December that more than 40 people had already been infected with the virus in China. Human-to-human transmission already happening at that time in December. She said she has records of communications with other people in China. And she learned of, and she said she was very much in fear for her life. She said, I know how they treat the whistleblowers. They want to keep people silent. So, I mean, this just kind of confirms, does it not, what we already knew about how the government of China kept this thing a secret? And yet, at the same time, they were allowing flights out of China, but not within it. No intra flights. But outside of China, yes, you could come and go. Now, why was that? You know? Very, very devious situation going on. So this woman apparently is now in the protection of the FBI. And I don't know if you'll see much more of her, but I think what she has to say, people ought to listen to. That is for sure. In the meantime, what's going on in Iran? It looks like there is all kinds of explosions at different plants. While one series of explosions occurred in a petrochemical plant in one province, 500 miles away, in a pocket of Tehran, another explosion where a home was supposedly had about 30 gas cylinders used for unclear purposes. And these both came 2 days after a string of explosions and power outages reported west of Tehran. Local reports said multiple blasts were heard. Now, Iran is denying that all of these different explosions are a pattern. Apparently, they don't want anybody to think that maybe there is something going on where there is an intentional sabotage of their nuclear facilities. But the most recent attacks have happened on the heels of multiple other mysterious explosions at sensitive sites over the course of the last 3 weeks. So the first thing that comes to mind, to my mind, is do you think Israel and or the United States might be involved surreptitiously in doing this kind of damage? I don't think anybody would be very surprised, especially Israel. You know how Israel and Iran get along. They don't. And so this is something that's kind of under the radar. You don't hear much about it. I found it on the news site yesterday. But we're going to keep an eye on that whole situation. I think it's it bears watching. Okay. Let us take our break, and hopefully we're going to have our friend John Solomon to talk about his book, Fallout.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back, and I'm delighted to have John Solomon join us. Many of you know that name. He is an author. He is an investigative reporter, journalist, Fox News contributor, all kinds of things. He has penned a tome with a gentleman by the name of Seamus Bruner called Fallout: Nuclear Bribes, Russian Spies, and the Washington Lies That Enriched the Clinton and Biden Dynasties. How'd you get all of that on the front cover, John? That's pretty good.
Yeah, I keep telling my mom, try to say that three times fast. It's pretty hard.
I think you're right. Well, you know, I am very intrigued about your book. First of all, you talk about that Uranium One, what I call a scandal. I never could understand why there wasn't more attention paid to that. Now, that goes back before even, before even Trump and Obama, correct? That goes on for some time,
it does.
Right?
It does. It really begins in the early 2000s. The Russians set out to have a strategy that they wanted to make America and the Western world reliant, dependent on Russian uranium. And basically, it's a geopolitical strategy. It's exactly what Putin did with natural gas in Eastern Europe. Once you're dependent on Russian gas in Eastern Europe, like Ukraine was, the second you don't do what Putin wants, he pulls the gas on you, raises the prices on you, bankrupts your country. And so that strategy worked so well in Eastern Europe with natural gas that he set out in the early 2000s to do the same with uranium. And he hit the jackpot when President Obama became president, because President Obama wanted Russia's help in Iran. They wanted to, quote unquote, reboot the relationship with Moscow. And so the Obama-Biden-Clinton team did the greatest giveaway in American history to Russia. Upon billions of dollars of uranium contracts to Russia.
I remember reading somewhere that almost like 20% of our uranium supply or something. I mean, it seemed like it was a rather circuitous way of their gaining control of it. But is there any – how did
actually,
that work? Go ahead.
That's a great question, because a lot of people focus on Uranium One, which was an important transaction for the Russians, for Vladimir Putin. Rosatom, his nuclear empire – wanted to get these assets on U.S. soil, and they also wanted Uranium One, Kazakhstan uranium assets, because the Kazakh uranium is some of the best and richest and best made for nuclear fuel. So the Uranium One transaction was important, and that gave him about 20% of the remaining uranium ore on U.S. soil. But the bigger thing that the Obama administration gave away that a lot of the mainstream media hasn't focused on are billions upon billions of new contracts that made American electricity payers and American utilities dependent on Russian uranium for decades to come. Those were the more valuable thing that Vladimir Putin wanted to get. And what's amazing is while this is going on, while the Obama administration is approving the Uranium One and these billions of dollars of contract, and also giving money and advice to help Russia build a Silicon Valley called Skokovo, the FBI has an undercover informant inside Rosatom, the Russian nuclear empire, telling them and proving to them that these guys, the Russians on U.S. soil, executing this domination strategy, are engaged in criminality. They've compromised the security of the main U.S. uranium trucking companies. They're demanding kickbacks, bribes. They're committing extortion. The FBI is capturing all of this in real time, briefing the president, briefing all of the agencies, including Hillary Clinton's State Department, the Energy Department, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and the Obama administration turns a blind eye and continues to give all those giveaways to Barack Obama, wow, to Russia, and Vladimir Putin.
That is absolutely scary. And every single department in the government had to sign off on that or something, didn't they? I mean, how did
they did? It's a process called CFIUS. Yep, ten different agencies did that, and we prove in this book. One of the biggest revelations in the book is for the last few years, since the Uranium One scandal first surfaced, when we first identified, I don't know if you remember his name, Doug Campbell, the informant who went on Sean Hannity with me and told the story of how all this was going on and Obama was ignoring it. The Democrats' response is, well, we didn't know about it. No, maybe that was going on, but the guy didn't get indicted until 2014, and we just didn't know any reason why we should stop doing this. We disproved that in this book. We were able to get a letter from late 2017 that was sent to Congress, in which the Nuclear Regulatory Commission says, nope, we were told, the Energy Department was told, all major components of the federal government were given a classified briefing in August 2010, 2 months before Uranium One was approved and a year before all the nuclear contracts were approved. We were told, we knew that this criminality was going on and the FBI had concerns.
And yet you hardly ever saw a word in the press about any of this, you know?
If
they would have investigated something like this 1/100th of the way they've investigated all of these things into Trump, I think it might be a different situation. We're talking with John Solomon. He has penned it's a book called Fallout, and it has to do with the Clinton and Biden dynasties to a great extent. And John, of course, now with Joe Biden running for president, right, and the situation in, you talk about the situation in the Ukraine and Burisma Energy, and there's another one that the press just didn't want to focus on. They wanted to focus on Donald Trump's phone call, and Donald Trump was, I think he had a legitimate interest in what was going on with the Burisma Energy Company and the Biden situation. So that's in your book as well, correct?
It is. We talk a lot about the Hunter Biden incident and how it came to be, because what happened was, after the Russians pulled the carpet out from under Obama, Biden, and Clinton, they got everything they wanted out of the United States. They went in, they invaded Crimea in the Ukraine region in 2014, making the Russian reset one of the biggest foreign policy failures in modern American history. I mean, that's how big a failure this was. The Obama, Biden, Clinton team wanted to get into Ukraine and prop it up, because now the Russians were flexing their muscle. And so one of their ideas was, we will help the Ukrainians become more energy dependent, so long-term they don't need to buy gas from the Russian monopoly that Putin had made. And ironically, one of the people that goes over and does that is a guy named Amos Hochstein. He's Joe Biden's chief energy advisor. He gives lots of speeches and testimony before Congress where he's saying the Russians shouldn't be allowed to have nuclear energy monopolization. This is bad. We're going to help Ukraine. Well, guess what Amos Hochstein did just a few years before he started giving those speeches? He worked for Rosatom, the very agency that the FBI was investigating, and helped them develop the strategy to get a leg up in the American market. And we just divulged that. We put in the book the actual documents where he signs the contracts, his PowerPoint presentation, how he's going to help Vladimir Putin get a leg up in the U.S. market. And remarkably, the FBI had all that information because they had their man inside, and he was gathering it in real time and alerting the FBI to that effort. So a lot of the players who are cleaning up the Russia mistake in 2015, 16, 17, 18 are people who previously were involved in helping the Russians as part of this reboot, this reset that went astray.
You know, with the debates that are sure to eventually occur between Trump and Biden, and I don't know how much the press will even focus on this situation in the Ukraine because of Biden and his son's involvement, but I would think that the Trump administration will make a point of having those things brought up. I mean, the press is still dodging that whole story. Also, you talk about in your book, Fallout, the situation with Fusion GPS, the Steele dossier, and all of the goings-on with the FBI during the, you know, the run for the presidency.
Right.
And that, you know, and that's another area, I guess. Donald Trump talks about it. Republicans talk about it. But, you know, it takes a book like yours, perhaps, to get down, deep and down into it.
Yeah, listen, when history looks back, I think there'll be two declarations about the period of 2009 to 2019. The first is that the Russian reset, the Obama-Biden-Clinton reset with Russia, was one of the greatest foreign policy failures in American history. And two, that the FBI's knowing and willful portrayal of the evidence of Christopher Steele and other evidence about alleged Russia collusion was one of the great hoaxes in American law enforcement history. The FBI knew, we just learned this last week, after the book was already written and gone to printing presses, we got last week a British court ruled that Christopher Steele has to pay damages to some of the people that were named in his dossier. But the most important revelation in that ruling, Christopher Steele's own handwritten notes from the first time he handed the dossier to the FBI on July 5th, 2016, a day that will live in infamy. He told them, my ultimate client is Hillary Clinton.
Wow.
This was a dirty trick. And what did the FBI do? They hid that from the FISA court.
Oh,
as they hid all the flaws that they were finding in the Steele dossier in real time, that it was Russian disinformation, false information. The FBI has a very shameful episode in this whole Russia collusion story.
We're talking again with John Solomon and his book, Fallout. John is an investigative reporter. I've seen him many times on Fox News, and he is an author, he is a journalist, and we're talking a little bit about the Clinton and Biden dynasties, and boy, I'll tell you what, they both made a ton of money. I mean, now, I guess Biden, you know, in comparison to a lot of people, is not as wealthy as some of them, but certainly the Clintons came out of all of this with much, much more money. It seems like politicians always do. They turn into millionaires. But we've got now a situation, I'm just going to kind of divert a little bit, where Joe Biden is looking, and I want to see, kind of get your thought on this. He's looking for a vice presidential candidate. And I don't know, do you have any sense where he might go in terms of picking somebody? Will it be a woman? Will it be an African-American? Do you have any thought on that at all, John?
Well, just what I'm hearing from, you know, from my own sources, and this is a very important pick for another reason. If Joe Biden ever did become president, given what we've seen with his age and his memory and his inability to stay on, even in the speech, to stay on the speech,
yeah,
the vice president could be a far more important pick than other presidents.
Exactly.
And so, but what's really going on is an effort to pander to the left in some way, to come up with somebody that would appease and excite the left side of the party, because for most of his life, Joe Biden was a centrist, he doesn't have a great record on racial justice issues. He doesn't have a great record on climate change. He doesn't have a great record on a lot of the things that the far left of the party, which dominates most of the party, care about. So I think he'd like to make some history, either with an African-American woman, maybe a disabled veteran like Tammy Duckworth.
Yes.
But I think the optics here are more about appeasing the Liberal Party than maybe finding the most qualified person. And we'll just have to watch how that plays out, right? If you ask, we did a poll at Just the News, where my news site, and people said, listen, we love all these things. It's great to have a woman in African-American, but the most important thing about a vice presidential candidate is, are they qualified to step into the chair if the president becomes disabled? And I think that is the American sentiment. They want the best person Joe Biden can find, not the one that electrifies the left base.
Yeah. I mean, you do kind of worry about Joe, if you're a Democrat, I would think. He does seem to not be quite as, I don't know. We'll see about that. Maybe as the debates unfold, too, you know.
Those will be a big moment. We'll get to see him head-to-head with Donald Trump. And, you know, Donald Trump's very vibrant and at age 74 has the energy of a 50-year-old.
He does.
And Joe Biden, yeah, and Joe Biden has really slowed down. I've known Joe Biden for years, going back when I was in AP Florida. I used to see him on the train and Amtrak. He's not the same Joe Biden that I saw 10 years ago. Clearly, time has taken a toll, and it'll be interesting to see what happens on the debate stage, what Americans divine from the different performances of these two men.
You know, final question, you know how when you're running, you tend to be in the primaries and the like, you tend to be pulled more towards the extreme side of your party. And then when you get into the general election, you try to slide back to the center. Joe Biden seems to be being pulled by the Bernie Sanders factions, maybe some other liberal entities in the Democratic Party.
Right.
Is he going to slide back towards the center when he comes up against Trump?
I don't think so. I think a lot of what his strategy is to firm up the left side of the base. He feels there's energy there and that he doesn't want them to be demoralized by his past record. I don't think you'll see a centrist Joe Biden in the fall. Now, one thing he did do centrist last week is he stole a page from the Trump playbook of 2016 by announcing a Buy America effort, you know, to put America first in China. That's almost hysterical when you look at Joe Biden's record with China, because he was preaching for years China wasn't a threat, and it was only after the coronavirus that Joe Biden kind of came around. I think China is going to become a boomerang issue for Joe Biden. No matter who he picks as his VP, no matter what moves he makes to appease the left, I think Donald Trump's campaign has a tailor-made opportunity to portray Joe Biden as a man who gave America's jobs away to China, looked blindly at China's aggression, just like Obama Biden looked blindly at the Russians. And I think you're going to hear a lot about Beijing Biden in the fall.
Wow. Very, very interesting. Well, John Solomon, we really appreciate your coming on. The book is Fallout, Nuclear Bribes, Russian Spies, and the Washington Lies. That kind of rhymes, John.
It does. That
enriched the Clinton and Biden dynasties. It sounds like a real barn burner. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the attention today.
All right. John Solomon. Have to look for that book. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, we got all kinds of people here in the United States out buying guns. We're going to talk about all of that with the proprietor of the barber pole, himself a gun owner, Andrew Ceresi.
Each time we have a quarrel, it almost breaks my heart, 'cause I am so afraid that we will have to part. Each night I...
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back here on Freedom Works. By the way, we are here 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. And delighted to have you with us. By the way, record gun buying going on right now. Americans buying guns in record numbers. Gun sales began rising to unusual heights in March. The Federal Bureau of Investigation has processed almost 8 million background checks for guns from March to June. In June, background checks up 136% compared to a year earlier. Gun dealers estimate 40% of sales going to first-time buyers. So with all of that, Andrew, the master barber, and I know you're a big gun proponent, is this because of the pandemic? Is this because of the demonstrations? Is it a combination of ingredients? What is it?
Well, it's what we're going through in this country. Look at Black Lives Matter causing all kinds of trouble, Antifa causing all kinds of trouble. People are afraid they're going to protect themselves.
Yeah.
Come on. Then you got Biden and the Democrats. Come on. Trying to take everything away.
There is a big deal being made of that. I think it's a Maryland couple. They were inside their compound. And these protesters broke through, a whole bunch of them, started wandering down the street and confronted this couple.
They broke through the gate on their property.
It's a gated community. It's a gated community, yeah. And they're standing out right in front of them on the lawn or near the lawn. And here are those. Here is this couple, and there's the guy with a gun, with a rifle, and he just said, and now they're going to possibly charge the guy with the rifle defending his property.
Yep. I was reading about that.
I mean, this
it's
is
ridiculous.
Really strange. It's ridiculous. Is right. I think it's this ridiculous. is the kind of thing. That gets people going, and this is another reason why I think Donald Trump, is probably going to win again because of all of this kind of stuff.
Well, I don't see probably.
Yeah, I know you don't.
You'd have to be a fool. You would have to be a fool to vote for anybody else. You know what I mean? There's no question about it.
So, a lot of businesses like yours. They have guns to protect themselves.
Everybody does. Well, I don't know anybody that doesn't own a gun.
Right. In businesses in particular, smaller businesses. And of a sudden, all of these people that never would have thought about buying guns, dealers think 40% of their sales, they estimate, are going to first-time buyers.
They have no guns on their shelves. They're all bought out.
Wow.
Okay, and now it's even hard to get ammo in a few places. They bought out so much. But, have you heard anything today about this Mitchell girl with Epstein? I haven't heard anything about that yet. I'm kind of anxious to see what's going on. Is she arraigned in court today?
Now, this is the woman that was the partner and accomplice with Epstein when all of this was going on. Is her name Ghislaine Maxwell? And she's got some sort of papier-mâché clothing on right now, and they're hiding her, aren't they, in some prison?
They say they're hiding her, but from what I understand, they said they were hiding her in the same prison that Epstein was
in. Yeah, that's not a good idea. I'm trying to look here just to see if there's any additional info.
Well, you know what they need to do with that, Paul? I thought about that one hard.
Okay.
And what they do, you know how they put the little camera over the eagle's nest to watch the baby eagles?
Yes.
When they hatch us? They need to put one of those cameras in her jail cell so the whole world could watch what goes on, just like they do the baby eagles.
Yeah, they could do it. I mean, maybe that way, if somebody tried to knock her off, the whole world would be watching it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But, Paul, this is going to be an endless battle. We got another 114 days before the election.
That sounds
After
right.
After the election, we're going to see a lot of changes, And as Barack Obama once said to Putin, once I get reelected again, I can do a lot more things. Well, you know what? Once Trump gets reelected again, I think you're going to see a lot of big changes.
Do you think he will pay any attention to the record number of, the record debt that we've gotten into? Donald Trump, for all of the things he is trying to do, I don't think he lets money get in the way of it, does he? I mean, we're up to $26 trillion.
Unbelievable.
It was about 20 or 21.
Well, we better hope it stays there, because if Biden gets in, it's going to go up to $50 trillion.
Yeah, it ain't going the other way. There's no question.
Matter of fact, I don't think there's enough money in the world to support what they're asking for.
Do you think we should have a second round of stimulus checks?
No, I don't think so, Paul. I think people just need to start fighting back and say, we're tired of all this closing. This is a bunch of malarkey that's going on. We need to get back to our lives. The death toll in Florida is, 4,200 people? Come on, Paul. 4,200 people out of 23 million, I'm sorry, that's just not a lot of people for me. I can understand a lot of people are getting it, but they're not dying.
Right. Right. Ed and I were talking about it off mic.
Let's pull up our big boy pants. Let's all stop being afraid of what's going on here because it's all a bunch of bull crap. And get back to our normal lives, get this economy going, get Trump elected, and make America great again, as far as I'm concerned.
We're talking with Andrew, the master barber, and we're talking about trying to get the economy up and running again. Speaking of that, Andrew, in California, your favorite governor, Gavin Newsom, has ordered a halt to indoor activities at certain businesses statewide, including closing down their restaurants and their bars again.
Guess what? California's going to fall off the map. They're not going to have no economy and no money, Paul. Bad decision.
Yeah, I wonder how that's going to affect the voting. I mean, I wonder if people are getting tired of staying at home in that state. And, you know, it's a very liberal state.
Like I told you, I think California's going to go red, buddy.
Yeah, if that happens, if California votes for Trump, it's going to be the most one-sided presidential slaughter that's ever occurred, I think.
Hey,
that will really be something, because if California does it, everybody will do it.
Yeah, look at Paul. People are fed up there. They're fed up all over the freaking place. Let's be real.
Mm-hmm.
And California especially. But you know what I wanted to tell you? Now that we're pushing into election time here, up in North Pinellas, we got the Republican office open, okay? And I'm kind of excited about it, because anybody that's looking to get their Trump signs, their Trump paraphernalia, all the different Republican candidates, and we got to get this house going, man. We've got to take over the house. So all the promotional things. People need to show their support for Trump if they want to know. They moved here. They don't know who they're voting for. They're asking advice. They can come into this office, Paul.
Okay, tell us where this office is located now.
All right, Paul, it's on 29162 U.S. 19 North.
Okay.
It's in the same plaza where you see the Po's Vietnamese restaurant. That's a good landmark to use. A lot of people know where that is. And we're going to be there from Monday through Friday from 10 to 4 and Saturday from 9 to 11. And I guess candidates come in there and meet and greet people every now and then. And everybody that's there is up and up on who the candidates are that are running in certain areas. And we need to get these Republicans elected. And we need to let people know that they're backing these people. So we got everything there that they need.
So is that currently open for people to visit?
Yes, it is open now. And my two friends over there, Ron and John, put in all their time. And these guys do nothing but volunteer for this. That's how devoted they are to it. And they're there getting this place going. They're putting signs together. They're telling people what we got to do. They're getting rallies going. I give them a lot of credit.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I had more time to do this, you know. But these two guys are really great, and I'm fortunate to know them, that they're getting me involved with them. And I got to do all I can.
Sure. And you can get your Make America Great Again hat and all those kinds of things there, too.
Well, they got all the signs and stuff there. I don't know about the hats.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if they want to get the hats there, but we're also going to have Bobby Palermo's song there, Make America Great, too. Because, we're trying to get that up to the president.
Yes, indeed.
That's right.
Yes, indeed. So tell us what the cross street is. For those of us that live in Pinellas County, it's in North Pinellas. Go ahead.
It's between 580 and Curlew Road.
Between 580 and Curlew Road on U.S. 19, would it be on the west or the east side?
It's on the west side.
It's on the west side.
Right, and you'll see it in the plaza next to Po's Vietnamese restaurant.
Okay. And so people can go there and can they get yard signs and stickers?
Oh, yeah, that's it, buddy. We got to promote our candidates, and that's where they're all bringing them. So anybody in North Pinellas, in North Pinellas County, can go there and get him. And you know me, as usual, I'm going to have him at my barbershop for people that can't get over there. You know what I mean?
Exactly. By the way, if you go to Andrew's for a haircut, and you'll get the best haircut in Pinellas County, of course, if you go, but you'll have a life-size poster of Donald Trump, which I talk with every time I go in there and get some very cogent advice from him. Is that actually how tall Donald Trump really is?
By the way? He's 6'3".
Is he
6'3"? He got me by an inch.
Wow. So if you stand next to that thing, it's a little taller than you, huh?
Yep. Hey, what do you think about the boycott of Goya Foods, huh?
Oh, yes. You know, we did have a story on that. I did not get to it the other day. Goya Foods, all of a sudden, all of these people that probably would never have bought Goya Foods and didn't even know what it was are going out and looking for Goya Foods, cans of Goya Foods. Go ahead.
You know, Paul, what I was going to tell everybody, and I'm trying to get this together, I'm going to talk to my two buddies, Ron and John, about this too, is I would like to get a list of businesses to support the president. This way, the people that support the president can support these businesses to help us all keep going. You know what I mean?
The head. Let's let our listeners know that the head guy at Goya said he was delighted to talk with Donald Trump and visit with him. And all of a sudden, because he did that, you get all of these people that said, we're going to boycott Goya. And they tried to get a big boycott going. It's exploded in their face and gone the other way.
That's right. They got a boycott instead.
Boycott. Exactly right.
They call it a boycott. And that's great. That's why, because so many people are hurting today, Paul. And you know one thing I found about the people that are Republicans and Trump people is they all help each other out, Paul. They'll back up these businesses. That's why I'm going to try and talk to these guys and see if we can get a list going. People that aren't afraid to say, hey, they back Trump. You know, I'm not afraid to say I back him in my barbershop.
I know you're not. You are absolutely not. Now, the truth is a lot of people are. You know, they're afraid to say those things. We know that. And we do know that there's a silent majority out there.
And that's like, right. You know, the silent majority will take care of their own, believe me.
Yeah. I think in November we'll find out just how big a silent majority we have. So,
and I think it's going to be bigger than they believe.
Right. Well, Andrew, it's always a pleasure, my friend, talking with you. You have such great energy and devotion. We're going to be talking with you again on Friday. And in the meantime, take good care.
You got it, Paul. Take care, buddy.
All right. The master, the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew. All right, we're going to take our final break, my friends. When we come back, among other things, we're going to tell you the top 10 largest cities in Canada.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barbershop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you for joining us. A little earlier in our discussion with Andrew the Master Barber, we talked about the huge spending that our federal government is going through right now, and a little additional info on that. The federal government has set records for both the amount of money it has spent and the deficit in the first 9 months of this year. And during the October through June period, the government has spent a record $5 trillion. $5 trillion. While it's collected about $2.3 trillion in taxes. So I'm not much in math, but it still sounds like that's about $7 trillion that we've spent more than what we took in. And this is the largest deficit the federal government has ever run in the first 9 months of a fiscal year. Now, the fiscal year goes from October to June. That's their year. Prior to this, the largest deficit was in 2009, when we ran a deficit of about $1.2 trillion at that time. So, I don't know. You know, your eyes blur over. Nobody knows really how much that really is. It is so much. But it is kind of scary. And I wonder if Donald Trump will, if he's elected, reelected in November, if he will address our debt, which is around $26 trillion right now overall, more than it has ever been. All right, and before we go to our top 10, there is a very interesting race going on in Alabama. Jeff Sessions, remember him? Former U.S. Attorney General to Donald Trump, the first one that Donald Trump had, is fighting for his political life as he runs for senator there. He was a senator at the time when Trump picked him to become his attorney general. And he is running against a guy that was a former coach at Auburn University. I wonder, Ed, if you know the name Tommy Tuberville. Does that name ring a bell with
you? Sure.
Yeah. And he did fairly well at Auburn as a coach. He's now running for the Senate against Jeff Sessions in the Republican primary. And you know that Donald Trump is backing Tommy Tuberville. He just never got over what Jeff Sessions did by recusing himself in that whole FBI investigation. Never has. And Tuberville is not missing a beat in showcasing Trump's endorsement. So we'll see where all of that goes, but that primary is today. You know, we'll see what happens. I think that Tuberville right now is, according to the polls, is ahead in terms of that, but we'll see. At the end of the day, what goes on there? All right. Hey, we got baseball coming up at the end of this week, this Saturday. Is that right?
No. Actually, the season doesn't start till the 24th.
Oh, it does. Not this Saturday. I thought the 18th.
It's Friday. No, it's the 24th.
Okay. 24th. Well, I'm wrong. Well, I was going to say, have we got to figure out how many games?
60.
They're going to play 60 games. Yeah. So, are they doing like a spring training right now? Are they doing
it?
They are, huh?
Okay. More like a mini camp kind of thing. Yeah, and then they're going to play some really weird teams. They're not going to be playing, you know, the new usual suspects. They're going to be playing the Mets and different teams that you won't normally see during a regular season in, you know, a American League. So
okay. I see. Do you think that because they have a shortened season, they're going to try to figure out some of these games that they think more people would be interested in? Like, I see the White Sox and Cubs, the very first thing in Chicago is they're playing each other in a series. Like that kind of thing, you know?
I don't know about that. I think they just want to get it going.
Yeah.
I'm just afraid. I'm just afraid that some of these guys are going to drop out. You know, if there's guys on their teams that are getting the coronavirus, that they're going to drop out.
Exactly
and
right.
And it falls apart.
I think there's truth to that. I think a lot of these star players, too, they don't want to risk getting something like that.
Right.
They just do not. We'll see where all of that goes. All right. It is time for our top 10, Ed. I want to find out how much you know about the great country of Canada to our north, where I was born, and see if you can come up with the number one. But in the meantime, these are the top 10 largest cities in Canada. You know, why don't we give them a little bit of publicity? This comes from worldatlas.com, so you know it's probably accurate. So without further ado, here we go. Top 10 largest cities population-wise in Canada. Number 10. It's Kitchener, Ontario. I bet you don't even know where that is, do you? Kitchener,
no.
Ontario. It's not that far from Toronto, but they've got, and this is, by the way, a metro area population dealy. Okay, so just so we know. But it includes places like Cambridge and Waterloo and Kitchener. Anyway, they've got 470,000 people in that area, and they're number 10. Number 9, another place in Ontario, it's a big province, Hamilton, Ontario. Ever heard of Hamilton, Ontario?
Yep.
Okay, not far from Toronto, 694,000 people. Number 8, this is the capital of Quebec. I mean, of Canada. Quebec City, Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
And they have 705,000 people in, it's mostly French-speaking, by the way. All right, number seven. And this is where I was born. And this is why it's famous. Winnipeg, Manitoba. 712,000 people in the coldest big city in North America. Why they
home,
stay there?
Home of the Winnipeg Blue...
Yeah, Blue Bombers.
Blue Bombers of the Canadian Football
League. That is correct.
They used to have some wicked weather games.
They did. That you know the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, I am impressed.
It was a snowstorm in May.
That's correct. That's Winnipeg for you. All right, number six. Ottawa. And by the way, I made a mistake. Quebec City is not the country's capital. Ottawa is the country's capital. Mm. So let's correct that. But Ottawa has 990,000 people in the capital city of Canada. Number five, Edmonton. You know about Edmonton. That's where the great Gretzky skated for a long time. 1,063,000 people in Edmonton. All right, number four. Just to the south in the same province, Calgary. They're both in Alberta. Calgary, 1,238,000 people. Number three. Number three is right on the west coast. It's like the San Francisco of Canada, Vancouver, British Columbia. It's a beautiful city.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Been there.
You have? Yeah. Then you know. 2.3 million people. That's a lot in the metro area of Vancouver. All right, number two. Montreal, that's in Quebec, 3,520,000 people in the Montreal metro area. All right, Ed, we're up to number one.
Toronto, I don't know.
So roll the drum. You're going to guess Toronto,
yeah.
All right. Well, heck, what's left? Of course it's Toronto.
Well,
you're right.
I know there's
you're
my friend lives in Michigan, and I don't know how many times we went across that bridge just to go hang out. Say we've been in Canada.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful city, Toronto. Yeah. It's a very clean city. It's got a great reputation. 5,430,000 people live in the Toronto metro area, and they got all the sports you could ever want, you know, with the Maple Leafs and all of the other things that they are doing. I think they've been pushing for a basketball team.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll ever get one there in Toronto, but, you know, Canada's a beautiful place to go, and there's a lot of great places. They've got great Rocky Mountains out west near Edmonton and Calgary in Alberta. Very, very beautiful, beautiful area. I'm kind of talking a little bit more because we got a little bit of time. But
well,
we're
let me just say this real quickly. I talked to John Solomon off the air real quickly.
Yeah.
I gave him some what he deemed some very, very interesting information that he was not aware of. That Joe Biden has a summer home on St. Croix, which is 45 minutes away from Epstein's Island. And it says, I just looked it up, that the St. Croix Gazette, whatever they're calling it, that he was seen, he's been there 2010, 11, 12, 13, 16, and 18.
On his own little St. Croix.
And then the Biden brother owns an island on St. Thomas.
Oh, boy.
Just off St. Thomas.
Well, John Solomon may well investigate
and
that.
And that would be near Epstein's Island.
Wow. Holy cow, the plot thickens.
So he's going to look at that.
Thank you so much. We'll be back on Friday. And remember, freedom works.